The reading's John chapter 20 from verse 11 to 18. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Risen Lord Jesus, as Mary Magdalene met you in the garden on the morning of resurrection, so can you meet us in this service. Speak to us as you spoke to her. Reveal yourself as the living Lord. Renew our hope and bring us joy. Like Mary, send us to share the good news with others.
Thank you, Ruth, very much indeed for reading that passage to us. This is an amazing day, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a wonderful day. It's a really special day. But in a sense, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Sunday, not just on this particular day, but there always is something special about Easter Sunday, that we can have a special focus on the very events that God put into train that actually have shaped our faith. It's the reason why we are here today, because of what happened on that day. It shaped our faith, it shaped our destiny, it shaped our world, and shaped our lives in all sorts of amazing ways. You know, we celebrate the fact that the grave did not hold Jesus, that death was not the end, that the cross and the resurrection belong together. And the completed work of Jesus was not only that death could be defeated, but that for us there is a certain hope of eternal life. And that starts on the very day that we accept Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. And the part of the story in John 20 that Ruth read to us is amazing, because in it we read and hear about the first person to meet the risen Christ, Mary Magdalene, one of his disciples. She probably has a bit of a bad press, actually. Most people seem to think that she was a prostitute, a woman of ill repute. There's no evidence that she was, but what there is evidence from is that she was healed by Jesus, and he delivered her of seven evil spirits. And as a result, she became a follower, along with the other male and female disciples from that time. The thing that strikes me about this particular passage is the issue of recognition. So we can have a short test this morning to see whether you recognize some of these people. I'll start with the easy one. We all recognize David Cameron. We recognize him because every day we either hear his voice or see his picture on the television or in the newspapers or wherever There's no way that we could possibly not know who David Cameron is. But actually, we don't know him. I've never met him. I don't know whether anyone here has met David Cameron. But I don't know him. I don't really know what he's like. I know what people say he's like, and I know what the newspapers say he's like, but I don't actually know him at all. It reminds me of an occasion when I was speaking, I was giving a talk on George Muller at a particular group, and this lady came up to me after when I'd spoken, and she started speaking to me as though she'd known me all her life. And I looked at her and I thought, I haven't a clue who you are. And I ended up with this awful dilemma. Do you actually play along with it and try to devise some strategies to find out who she is so that you don't admit that you don't know who she is? Or do you come clean and say, sorry, I don't think we've met. Who are you? And the risk of the latter thing is actually that if you do know her and it's a senior moment and you think, oh dear, what shall I do? So I took the brave way out, which was to actually say, I was just sorry, have we met? Do you know me? Because I don't recognize you. And she said, well, no, we haven't met. But actually, I was in a talk that you gave a few weeks ago in another place, and I was sitting in the eighth row back on the right-hand side. And she thought she knew me. But she recognized me, but she thought she knew me as well because she'd listened to me talk for half an hour, whatever it was. But I hadn't a clue who she was. So it's easy sometimes to recognize people, but actually not to know them. Well, I suppose that the same applies to this man as well, that we see his picture so often in the newspapers that we feel that we know him. We know we can warm to him and so on. But actually, I don't know him at all. I don't really know anything about him. All I know is that David Cameron was the 74th Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and Barack Obama is the 44th President of the United States of America. But what about this guy? Do you recognize him? Anybody recognize him? No. Well, he was the first Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. His name is Sir Robert Walpole, and he was Prime Minister during the 18th century, but you've probably never seen a picture of him at all in your lives, and we don't recognize him, we don't know him at all. So what about this guy here, top right? Who's that? George Washington, that's right. Isn't it interesting that actually we know the first President of the United States, but we don't know the first Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, isn't it? Because they lived about the same time. So what about this one? It isn't George Muller, just to be clear. This is one of the people that if you see him in silhouette, you still know who it is. Abraham Lincoln, isn't it? Yeah. And the reason I put Abraham Lincoln on there, he was the 16th president, by the way, of the United States. The reason I put him there is that he lived in a very different time. He was actually president of the United States during the American Civil War. But he had this very open style as president of the United States that actually you could go to the White House and see him. And he worked office hours, and out of office hours you could just wander about and go and have a private chat with him. He was a very humble man. He was a very self-effacing man. He was a man who didn't think highly of himself at all for a politician, which is an amazing thing. And even though he lived in a very dangerous time of the Civil War, there was virtually no security whatsoever. I mean, if you tried to get into the White House today, you would be in great, great difficulty trying to get in. You'd be stopped by guards about a mile away from the White House. But in his day, you could just go in. And there's a story of a lady that wanted to see him. And so she just walked in to the White House. And the first person she met was Abraham Lincoln. But she didn't recognize him. She'd never seen a picture of him. She'd never seen any evidence of him at all. And so he came up to her and he said, can I help you, madam? And she said, I demand to see nobody lower than the president. And he said, madam, there is no one lower than the president. What can I do for you? you know, that whole area of recognition and so on, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, that often we don't recognise people, and sometimes we do recognise people. Sometimes we have difficulty in recognising people because we see them out of context. But we're actually very influenced these days by the media. And I've been thinking about this a bit in the context of Mary Magdalene. Because in this passage, in this first meeting between Mary Magdalene and the risen Jesus, she had the joy of moving from not recognizing him to recognizing him. And in the verses before the ones that Ruth has read to us, we read that she came to the tomb whilst it was still dark, and she found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And she went to Peter and the other disciples and told them and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him." And the two disciples ran into the tomb and found the burial cloth and strips of linen that were used in order to lay the body out. And they expected to see Jesus lying there, but the cloth was there and the strips were there, but no body. And we read that the other disciple, other than Peter, was in a state of belief, but clearly not that Jesus had risen. He just realized that the body wasn't there. And then in our passage, we read that Mary stayed at the tomb. And in the midst of her tears, she saw two angels, one seated at the head and one seated at the feet of where Jesus had been lying. And they asked her why she was crying. And she repeated what she had said to the disciples. And then she turned around and she saw Jesus, but thought he was the gardener. And perhaps he had carried off Jesus' body somewhere. Well, there are four things that I'd like us to look at this morning in this encounter between Mary and the risen Jesus. Firstly, at first, she didn't recognize Jesus. Don't you find that amazing? She'd spent ages with Jesus. She'd followed him. She'd spent all sorts of time with him. She'd had intimate discussions with him, as he had with all the disciples and the people who had followed him. So why didn't she recognize him? She'd walked with him, she'd talked with him, she'd eaten with him, she'd seen his healing ministry, she'd benefited from his healing ministry at first hand. She'd heard him teach, she'd seen him act and react with people. She knew Jesus well. So why wouldn't she recognize him? Why did she think he was somebody else? She was filled with grief. She was disconsolate. She was disorientated. She was confused. She was disappointed. She was experiencing unspeakable loss. She was afraid, she was bewildered, and she was weeping. But furthermore, Mary didn't expect to see a risen Jesus. You see, she was looking for a dead body. She expected to find a body that she would further anoint with precious spices and oils. And Luke tells us that she had come for that purpose, to anoint the body with spices, but was waiting for the Sabbath to be over before she went. So she went very early in the morning when it was still dark. You know, it occurs to me that so often our expectations shape our experience and shape our reactions. And after all, the logical thing was that the body had been stolen. That was a common problem in those days of grave robbery. But for her, a real, live, flesh and blood body was not what she expected. She was not alone in not recognizing him, because actually it was a feature of many of the gospel narratives that at first The disciples didn't recognize Jesus at all. Now, obviously, his body had been badly beaten. The ravages of the cross were there in his body, but his later appearances showed that it was the same Jesus. He was recognizable as Jesus, and yet she didn't recognize him. But you see, he appeared to the disciples, and they didn't recognize him. John 21, we read this. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." That moment of recognition. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped the outer garment round him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped in the water, very Peter-like. But they didn't recognize him, and yet he was there with them. And in Luke 24, verse 37, we read this. While he was still talking, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking he was a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And he appeared to the two on the Emmaus Road that's already been referred to today, and they didn't recognize him at all at first. That's Luke 24 also. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other and about everything that had happened. And as they talked and as they discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And beginning with Moses, it says later, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And later again in the passage, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them, just as we have here today. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" "Look at my hands and my feet," said Jesus. "It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." Even though he had spoken a number of times of rising again on that day, they hadn't made the connection. Jesus was dead, after all. They had seen him die. Dead bodies don't rise again, normally. So is it not surprising that Mary Magdalene didn't recognize Jesus? Her eyes were filled with tears. It was dark. She was focused on the grave. Jesus appeared behind her so that she had to turn round to see him, and she expected to anoint a dead body. You see, so often we don't recognize Jesus when he reaches out to us and seeks to meet us. But you see, for Mary, one thing made all the difference. She heard him call her by her name. He just said one word, "Mary." And as soon as he called her by name, she recognized him. The familiar sound of his voice, saying her name as he'd done many times previously, was all that was needed to break through her expectations and her grief. She knew him. She recognized him. It was the real Jesus, and he was alive. He wasn't dead. She recognized him at last. It reminds me of the passage in John 10. Let me read it to you, reading from verse 1. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees," said Jesus, "anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." And in verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." You see, one personal word changed her whole worldview, and that was her name, Mary. Now she recognized his voice, and she turned to him and she said, "Rabboni, my dear teacher." Her joy would have known no bounds on that special morning. What I want to say to us is that Jesus calls each one of us here by our names. Do you know there are 8 references in the New Testament to the Book of Life, and there are 2 references in Revelation to the Lamb's Book of Life, in which the names of those who love Jesus are written. And if you love Jesus this morning, then your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was through the relationship that Jesus had with Mary that she was able to respond to his voice, because he was the good shepherd and she was his sheep, just like we are. And it's also a fact that the relationship that Jesus had with Mary Magdalene didn't seem to have changed, that now he was taking up where they had left off before the awful events of the last few days. And you know, the risen Jesus is always looking for a relationship with us. He calls us by name. He knows every hair of our head. He wants a relationship with us which is personal, intimate, two ways. You see, there is that point in our life when Jesus calls us by name and we say, "Yes, Lord." He says, "Come to me," and we respond to it. And those of us who've heard that call, those of us who've heard that name called by Jesus, will remember the time or the process well. But if there are those here today that haven't yet heard that call, then today, Easter Sunday, is a great special day to respond as he calls you by name. Just say your name under your breath. That's what it's like when God just calls us by name. Sometimes, you know, Jesus calls our name when we least expect it, when we're not expecting it. You remember the experience of Saul or Paul in Acts 9. We read, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" You see, he called Mary fondly to show her that he had defeated death, that he loved her deeply, that he wanted to soothe her distress. But he also wanted her to be a herald for him as well. in all sorts of ways, that others might know the good news. It's interesting that he would use a woman to do this. It was not the woman's place for the master to reveal his plans and purposes. It ought to have been to a man, surely, knowing the cultural situation, but it wasn't. It was a woman to whom Jesus appeared in contradiction of all the cultural norms. You see, he might be calling you to faith or to a deeper relationship with him or to a new commitment to serve him or to experience more of his love and grace, to see fulfilled in your life the deeper longings of your hearts. Or perhaps God is calling you by name to love him more. I wonder if Jesus is calling your name today and what he is calling you to. The third thing in this encounter is this. She held on to him. She held on to him. It's no wonder, really, that she held on to Jesus. She thought that she'd lost him once, so the fact that she'd found him a second time, or that he'd found her, she didn't want to let him go again. But actually, Jesus said, "You need to let me go." She needed to release him because he was going to his Father again. Isn't it interesting that the first words that Jesus said after her name was not, "I am the risen Lord." He talked about his relationship with his Father. You see, the last words of Jesus that connects the cross and the resurrection was, "It is finished." And because Jesus had obeyed and fulfilled all that the Father had purposed and planned, it was now time for Jesus' return to his Father. And that intimate relationship between Father and Son that was only broken for, it seems like, a moment out of all eternity, for those 3 days when Jesus felt abandoned upon the cross, he was now returning to his Father. And it was a virtually unbroken relationship. But I want you to notice that Jesus wasn't returning just to his Father, but to our Father. Not just to his God, but to our God. You see, this model of relationship that Jesus had between Father and Son is to be shared between us and him. That intimate relationship would extend into all eternity. And Jesus would be the link between us and the Father. But he wasn't able to continue to provide that because he still had an earthly body and he was going to go to his Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit would bring this about, and Jesus needed to go in order that the Holy Spirit would come. And we know what a deep and powerful influence the Holy Spirit has in our lives. That couldn't have happened if Mary had held on to Jesus and not let him go. Jesus needed to go back to his Father in heaven, that the Holy Spirit might come. And fourthly, the first thing that Mary did was to share her experience. Can you sense her excitement? "I have seen the Lord. I've seen him. I've seen him with my own eyes. I've seen him. He's real. He's here. He's not dead. He's alive. Isn't that amazing?" Mary was the first person to pass on the good news of Easter, that death is defeated, that there is a Savior, that salvation and eternal life are not just possible, but certain for those who hear and respond to their name being called. The good news that there is a risen Savior. He's alive. You see, Jesus calls us to turn to him in faith, but to actually share him with others. See, those two things are intimately connected. You can't just experience the risen Jesus without wanting to share the risen Jesus with other people. It's a bit like the calling of the first disciples that I've mentioned here before. Those amazing words, "Come follow me," but that's not all. "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." See, we need to be people who will shout out loud, "We have seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. I've met him. I've heard him call my name. I know him. I know him intimately." We need to be sharing the good news that Good Friday is not the end, but Easter Sunday, together with Good Friday, mark a beginning, not the end, but a beginning, that we can be reconciled to God, that his death and his resurrection changes everything. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing meeting that was on that first Easter Sunday morning. Death had been defeated. Our sin had been paid for. Eternal life with God was not just a possibility, but a rock solid certainty for those who recognize him, for those who seek his forgiveness, for those who seek to live in and for him. You see, without the risen Christ, death is the end. And an eternal future without God is a certainty. We would continue unforgiven. We have nothing and no one to live for, and our faith is useless. You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 this, he said, "And if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith." What an amazing thing that happened on that Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed, and we know his salvation. Will you listen to his voice calling you today? I don't know what he will be calling you for or to, but Jesus calls our voices every day. And if it is to know him and to love him for the first time, then what an amazing day, Easter day, that we can celebrate that. Let's pray. I just want to come before you this morning, our Father, and say what an incredible thing it is that you defeated death, that you paid the price, Lord God, for our sin by carrying it upon your shoulders, and that in that amazing way, something we would never have thought of, but you planned right from the very beginning of all creation, that you actually wanted to spend eternity with us. What an amazing thing. I want to thank you this morning, Lord God, that for those that you have today, that you have called us by name, so that we might recognize, Lord, that it is you who are calling us. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we might just continue to deepen that intimate relationship, Lord, that you want with us. That relationship which starts at the moment that we respond to your call, but continues into all eternity. How we long, Lord God, to serve you and to be with you forever. So we thank you for this amazing story, Lord God. We thank you for this woman who not only heard your voice and realized that you were now alive, but that she wanted to share it. Help us, Lord God, today as we would leave this place later on, that we would share with excitement, Lord God, what we have experienced, what we have recognized in our hearts and in our lives. That, Lord, that our neighborhoods and our communities, our workplaces, our schools, Lord God, our family groups, that they might know a call, Lord, from our hearts, that we want people to know that Jesus is alive. The Savior has risen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.